KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot. We a number one spot, first from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spy.
Hey, let's go, let's go, let's go. Come on, one more time, you know what it is. The KC's in the building, more fire, more fire, more fire. Boop, 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 boop. Yes, sir, man. D-Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, the July 28th version of D-Lo and KC. You know, this is one of the issues that I normally have, and this is selfish. I understand. I get it. First of all, shout out to my man D-Lo. He's out there champagneing and campaigning in Disneyland, doing his thing. Big up
the ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to D-Lo. He'll be back tomorrow. And Skinny Caraway. Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
We are live
from the worst slums of Sacramento.
I got my guy Jesse Tapia behind the board.
What are you doing with him?
Shout out to Kyle Matson, who's just on the handoff.
He's a real brother. He's a real brother. You dig?
And then also shout out to James Hamm.
I don't know. Is that a trick question? Like,
all right, there we go. That's everybody's drops right there. One of the things that ends up being kind of selfish of me, I understand it's a little selfish of me, is it really feels like after July 22nd, my birthday, damn, summer basically over. I'll be forgetting. We're still, 9 days left of July after that. And I'll be like, man, yeah, some time to get ready for back to school, you know, here on July 23rd or something like that. Nowadays, people have like year-round schedules and they be starting school earlier and earlier, which is crazy. But yeah, we're still in summer. We're still in summer. We're still in July. How about that? So we talked about it on the handoff. Jam-packed show for you today. Jam-packed show. We've got Sarah Hodges, Tristy Rodriguez. They are pulling up on us today, together. That's the dynamic duo, man. They be out there making moves. I seen them at All-Star Weekend. I see them every time at the Kings games, Valkyries games, all this other stuff. They be making moves, man. So they're going to tap in with us together. We're going to have them. Sarah will be in studio. Tristy will be via satellite. So we'll have her on there as well. And then we're going to try this again because last week it just didn't work out the way we thought it was going to work out. My man Guru, he's going to pull up at about 2:30 or so, 2:30. He's got a show that he's doing himself that he's got to make sure he's off of. But about 2:30 or so, Guru's going to pull up, man. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the Bay Area, Jonathan Kuminga, all that situation. But I also want to talk about talk to Daryl the Guru Johnson about his boys, the Cowboys, you know, his guy Jerry Jones. I'm surprised he hasn't thrown anybody else under the bus. You know, has he talked? Maybe that's the situation. Maybe he hasn't talked and he hasn't had the opportunity to throw somebody under the bus. But I want to get Jesse asked this question last week, and he talked about how Jerry Jones, maybe you should just take the mic from him. Just take the mic, and he going to say whatever. I wonder how a guy like Guru, who's been a longtime Cowboys fan, how does he view Jerry Jones in the Jerry Jones era? You know, is he just like, hey, that's the owner of the team, and we got to deal with it? Or is he like some of the Raider fans that were feeling some type of way about Al Davis later in his tenure of like, yo, we're never going to win with this guy. They didn't want him to pass, but they're like, yo, we're not going to, I wish you would sell the team, all this other stuff. So Guru will speak on that. We'll talk about that as well. But look, Jesse, sounds like Russell Westbrook, his name, even more so than originally, being tied to the Sacramento Kings, it feels like, and I think Matt George reported this, they gotta make sure that logjam isn't there anymore. And once that logjam is taken care of at that guard position, talking about moving on from a Devin Carter or a Malik Monk or something like that, it looks like it's inevitable, potentially, that Russell Westbrook will be a Sacramento King. Did you see the same thing I saw where people were upset about this all yesterday?
Yeah, I see people, I guess, I don't know if it's upset about that, just or just like I said, they're upset about the Kings situation. It's just another aging player, not really adding to the future. Just those type of things. Probably less about adding a player like Russell Westbrook. Like, let me tell you, let me ask you this, because we had hit a break about a minute and a half. Mm-hmm. If they added Russell Westbrook when Fox and Sabonis and everyone was happy, like, you think people would still be mad? As a backup point guard or whatever you want to call it.
There is a segment of people who absolutely would be upset. I understand your question, too. But there are people who inherently do not are opposed to Russell Westbrook.
Okay, besides the ones that just hate. Like, mm-hmm. I think if you were to add Russell Westbrook to a better situation, I think people would be a lot more for it. But now you add him to a situation where it's like, all right, we'll see what the next 2 years look like. Hopefully they make the plan. Hopefully they get into the playoffs. Yeah. Just then all those things. Like, it's I think that's just kind of the downside, I guess, people see to it.
I understand. And there is something that I feel like Kings fans and people who support this team and want to see them, the organization as a whole, do well. I think there's two issues that they're kind of like, they're two different situations that they're not recognizing, in my opinion, that they're not taking into account, or they're kind of jumbling the two situations and not separating them the way I think they potentially should be. I'll tell you what that is when we return. All right, it's ESPN 1320. D'Lo and KC. KC and friends today. D'Lo will be back tomorrow. And we'll break down the Kings, Russell Westbrook, potential marriage, and why some people, I think they're not seeing it necessarily the correct way. We'll talk about it all right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station.
So Legoland, just continuing from the break, Legoland is like, it's got rides and stuff, right?
Legoland.
Yeah, like, well, I've never been there in my life.
Legoland is pretty cool. So we're trying to figure out like what D'Lo likes to do. Like what type of park goer is he?
Does
he?
Fode in the chat says that Dame's on the teacups yelling, stop spinning the wheel right now.
I don't think I've ever been on the teacups. So, and I don't plan on starting. Not interested in that. But I said he's a lazy river type guy. And that's essentially what Legoland has. Legoland has dope, lazy river. It's more Universal Studios than Six Flags. You know what I mean? So it's probably more my speed. But Legoland is actually, I enjoyed myself at Legoland. They also had a water park, so that was cool too. So I went at a time when, you know, it was hot and the water park made sense.
Yeah.
So that was dope. I actually think the water park was like a completely different section inside of Legoland. Like you had the water park and then you go to the complete other side, and that's where, like I said, experiences are. It's not like a lot of rides. It's like Universal Studio. And I had a son who was into this stuff, so I thought it was pretty cool. Like that was when Lego Ninjago came out and they had like a whole little Lego Ninjago area, and it was dope to see. So I enjoy Legoland. I thought it was pretty cool. Obviously, it's a lot better with kids, like if you're taking your kids or something like that. But I had expectations that were really, really low of Legoland.
Yeah.
So it was easier for them to exceed those expectations, I guess.
Shout out. Yeah. Shout out Great America, too. Are they still closing that down?
Yeah. I think
that's sad.
Probably in the next month or so. Closing.
Wait,
down.
For real?
Yeah.
I thought we had more time. Damn. Nah. I used to spend summers at Great America.
I did too. My cousin, he had like a season pass or something like that to Great America. So I would, you know, I would go there, ride Top Gun, ride Vortex, ride all them joints. So yeah, a lot of memories at Great America, a lot of memories at Great America. Look, man, I'm not a theme park guy. I'm not. So that's that sad.
Real quick. Hold on. It's closing October 2027, by the way.
Okay, they keep pushing it back. That's good.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be closed like last summer.
And don't do what you were about to do, by the way, all right? Don't do that. Don't. You were about to be, oh, who cares? Like, you were about to Arco Arena like Damian Barling does.
I didn't say that.
You were about to be, oh, like whatever, it was my bad.
Those weren't my words.
What were you going to say?
Exactly.
Look at you, Scooter. Yeah, for sure. Great America was my childhood. I think, like, Stephen Brown, Top Gun was goated. Everyone loved it. You just hate it.
I went there as a kid as well.
Drew Down, Great America was life as a teen. Randy Lilly, that's my whole childhood.
Absolutely. I was there as a teen as well. You know, me and my cousin Anthony, you know, we go there, we ride the rides, try to get a couple numbers while we was out there.
Yeah, and you're just like, whatever, to hell with it. Close it, I don't care. Get a
couple numbers. One of my first dates with my wife was at Great America. That's when she tricked me. She didn't even trick me. She just, my own ego made me get on Drop Zone when I didn't want to. You know, I've got good memories.
Shout out Crystal. She never made me get on Drop Zone. We went.
Yeah. And once again, the wife didn't make me get on Drop Zone.
Well, no, it's just the roller coaster theory is what we'll call it. It's the, hey, I'm going to get on this. You don't have to if you're scared. And at that point, you have to get on.
Yeah. Then it's and look, it was genuine. She's like, I don't care if you get on or not. I know I'm getting on this ride.
A man's pride will do a lot.
That's exactly what it was. So, yeah, good. Good memories of Great America. Yeah, I had a lot of good times. No tears will be shed over here.
I'll shed one tear. I'll shed a tear. Like, memories.
I had no plans of ever going back to Great America. And I guess you're right. Now that you break this down.
Nah, we need to D'Lo and Casey do Great America one last time.
I ain't going to do nothing.
You're going to go on the roller coasters. Damien's been riding all the roller coasters at Disneyland, so he's ready to go. He loves all this stuff now, I'm sure.
Did you see over the weekend that footage of the people that had to walk down the roller coaster because it got stuck?
Yeah, I also saw the tweet that said this ride's broken down like 5 times this year, I believe. Man. Like, I'm good.
You want to do that on Top Gun?
No.
You want to do that on the Vortex?
That's the thing. Great America, the rides are fine.
What about the Grizzly? You want to do that on
I've been on the Grizzly. The Grizzly's fun.
All right, bro. All right. No, it's cool. It's cool. Yeah, the Grizzly.
Sales, no. D'Lo and Casey, Great America, one last ride.
Yeah, one last ride. Jesse will ride all the rides. The Pirate. One time I got on the Pirate, and I never really paid attention to it before.
That's the one that goes, that swings up, I think, right?
Yeah. It swings like a pendulum.
That's fine.
Like this. And then I was like, okay, no, it's not fine, first of all. And then, you know, it's swinging like this, and all of a sudden, it went all the way over. I said, whoa, hey. Who said you were supposed to do that?
The ride, but also, like, it was safe enough for you to talk about it on July 28th, 2025.
Bro, I'm cool.
Hold on. Cover that. Grizzly was sketch as hell. Stephen Brown almost lost my life on the Grizzly. That doesn't matter.
No, okay? The Grizzly is not okay.
Casey Tucker, the Grizzly is one of the most uncomfortable wooden roller coasters I've ever been on. Relax, all right? The
Grizzly is not okay. So I guess we got more time. We could have Odyssey. They will take a family trip to Great America Thursday at like 12 o'clock.
Yeah, I was everybody like, oh yeah, they would do that. Yeah, no, I'm out on it now.
That's exactly.
Watch how this. Watch this. Down. What's the worst roller coaster? The ones at Great America or the ones the Sacramento Kings have been on the last year?
Look at this guy. He's learning.
Wow.
I love it. A lot of game. Shout out to Jesse Tapia. Definitely Great America. All right.
Kings have been a little crazy.
I don't like roller coasters, so they're all bad to me. They're all bad. I never went on a roller coaster. I was like, that was dope. That was the best experience of my life. No, I made it. I'm off. Now, Kings are very similar. they're very similar. And one of the things with this whole Russell Westbrook news that came out, if anybody missed it, they're the betting favorites. The Kings are to get Russell Westbrook as free agency goes along, the offseason goes along. There were reports that they've stayed engaged throughout this whole process, and the Kings need to kind of figure out some other things with their roster and the long jam at the guard position. And once they figure that out, it's almost inevitable that Russell Westbrook will sign with the Kings. That's what reports are. And a lot of people didn't like that. A lot of people were upset with that. And here's the thing that I think people are just, I don't know if they're seeing it correctly. They look at the Kings as bringing in Russell Westbrook, having Zach LaVine, having Domantas Sabonis, having Dennis Schroeder, and all these guys and not too many younger guys, and saying they have no future. They have no plan. And they're equating that to being a bad basketball team. And I don't think those things are necessarily connected. I think they can be mutually exclusive. I think the Kings can be a team that makes the playoffs next year. I think the Kings can be a team that's a little better than 9 or 10. They could be a 7 or 8 or whatever with the group that they have. Now, what that team looks like after that year, I don't know. And I understand that's the frustration. But I don't think they're going to be this sorry-ass team next year.
What would you, on paper, of course, like what would you consider them now?
I would consider them.
I was talking to Damian about it last week. I got them about 40 to 42 wins, and 42 probably being a ceiling with them.
I got 42 to 45 wins.
I don't know how much I can just, like, I feel like the way we, like, we talk about 2027 and just moving things forward and just there's no future with this group. I wonder how much of the guys in that locker room also know that's the case as well, and how much of a, not necessarily like quit or less effort, but just how much of a total buy-in you're going to get from these guys.
And that's a fair question.
I wonder how much that's going to affect them, because there's talented guys on this roster, like Zach LaVine is no scrub, DeMar DeRozan is a Hall of Famer, DeMontis Sabonis, All-NBA, this and that, but it's just it feels like a just jumbled group, and I wonder how good that is for just getting into the flow of things, vibes, and all that stuff, and just more so just being on the same page as a team.
That's
kind of what concerns me about the group this year.
That's an absolute fair question. I will ask this question, and once again, I'm going, I think when I say this, I'm going best case scenario with that. What do you think, when do you think vibes, how do I want to ask this question? What vibes do you think were worse? And we haven't played the season yet, so it's a little unfair.
I'll say last year. That's between last year and right now. Yeah. I'll say last year. That's fine. Yeah.
And last year they won 40 games.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan, I will reiterate, he said after the season, it was maybe the worst experience or the worst situation he's ever been around in his 16 years in the NBA. We had the head coach literally having situations like Jerry Reynolds used to have, where he was coaching by himself. He was running a team by himself. Coaches quit. Front office executives quit and left in the middle of the season. They had no point guard. I'm sure there were players that quit. It was an awful situation. They found a way to win 40 games. And that's kind of where I come from with saying maybe 45. Is that situation was bad all around personnel-wise and just vibes-wise. I think just being in a better situation could be worth 3 to 5 more wins, potentially.
Yeah, I see that. Like I said, like, you now you have the point guard here. It's just less of the mess that was last year. But to me, it just feels like a group more so thrown together with talent rather than a team with a direction.
And that's fine, but I think those are two different things, though.
I think that's what's going to affect them on the court, though. Like, I wonder how much, like I said, just the total buy and just like, playing, like I said, I think I brought it up last year. I was talking about how many guys are playing for the Kings on the front of the jersey at this point and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that these guys aren't. We're going to see what it looks like game one and all that, but just I want to see what it looks like with a group that's probably got a year and a half maybe at most together.
Well, and to be fair with you, and we'll take a break. TC, hold on, because I want to talk about that point in just a second and really kind of break that whole thing down. Break down what you just said. So we'll talk about that. TC, hold on. I want to hear from you on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Sarah Hodges, Tristy Rodriguez, Daryl Guru Johnson, James Hamm, all going to be on the show today. We're going to have a good time, man. It's D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. D'Lo and KC here on ESPN 1320 on this Monday afternoon, Sacramento, California. Beautiful, beautiful day. Beautiful day. I love these type of days. We were talking about the Sacramento Kings being rumored, linked to Russell Westbrook, as a lot of people believe that signing will be inevitable. And a lot of people aren't happy with the idea of Russell Westbrook coming to the Sacramento Kings based on who's already on the roster, the lack of a future, and all this other stuff. And I get all that. We were trying to talk through that a little bit. Jesse said something before the break. Well, he said something as we were going to break that I wanted to touch on, but I want to get to these phones. I want to talk to our guys, man, on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Tap in with me. I want to hear from y'all. And right now we got our guy TC. TC, what up, baby? How you doing, fam?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers, man?
Not much, man. How you doing, man? You have a good weekend?
Oh, yeah, man. It was a good weekend, man. I'm just lounging, you know what I'm saying? Getting ready, sir. Man.
No doubt, no doubt.
My young boy threw in the pads. Well, they threw in the pads last week, though, so it's hitting week this week. They got a scrimmage tomorrow, so I'm fired up.
Okay, where you at? Who you coaching, right?
Not this season. This season, though, because he ain't pad. Yeah, he 12U, though, but at Bella Vista.
Okay, no doubt. Shout out Bella Vista, man. That's what's up. That's what's up. What's on your mind, TC?
Hey, no, so listen, bro. So what I got going on, I said, hey, give me a minute, Jesse, because I got some on the Niners. I know everybody want to hear that.
No, hey, you got it. You got all the time you want.
Thank you, bro. So listen, the Kings, I'm not saying that they're the same player, but I don't want to get tied up on this because Keon is my dog, right? But what I want to explain to people is don't get caught up. Keon has a jump shot, right? But if we're talking about defensively, those guys can be on the same level. The whole jumping in the passing lanes and all that, like Devin even got Keon on the rebound, but the jump shot, Keon got him. So if we're talking about Keon holding up the deal, if that's true, we don't know if it's true or not. Bro, don't let that be the reason that you hold up the deal on athleticism, the wing help that you need, and the upside, and this guy is younger.
You're talking about the Kuminga deal, right, TC?
Yes. I'm not letting Keon Ellis stop that deal, big dog. And if we're not giving up Devin can do the same things that Keon is doing, and all he has to do is work on his jump shot, period. And that's in my opinion. Defensively, they're on the same level, bro. As far as the Niners, I'm going to tell you just like this. Y'all want to know why they're listening. Y'all want to know why the big dogs are standing up and being leaders. And Bosa, Fred, Juwan Jennings, even though he's talking about his money, but he's there. Ayuk even on the sideline. You know why? Because you know who they respect, Kenny? They respect Robert Saleh, bro. He's a leader of men, homie. Listen, I'm serious. Jesse, they respect Robert Saleh, bro. That's why they're there. When Robert was gone, they wasn't doing none of this. The veterans was flying off the handle, talking about, Kyle, I don't care about what you're talking about. I'm not showing up. Them dudes are showing up to OTA, big dog, because they respect Robert. Because that dude's the leader of men, bro. I'm telling you, this is that dude's last year. Y'all want us a Niner talk? That's where I'm at with it.
All right, real quick, I just want to check with TC. So, Juwan Jennings, George Kittle signed in the offseason, Brock Purdy signed in the offseason, Brandon Ayuk is at camp. All these offensive players are there because they respect the defensive coordinator.
Even Bosa. And you know he don't never be there.
Bosa was there training. He was there last year. He was there
but
last
he out
year
there training. I know, but Kenny, he out there training and talking. This ain't got nothing to do with Kyle. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm going at. The leaders on the team standing up and talking has nothing to do with that dude. The leader of the men on that team is Bob Robert Saleh, in my opinion, big dog. That's
okay. All right, TC. All right, man. We appreciate you.
Call him Bob Robert Saleh.
Enjoy the rest of your day. That was wild. You know what's also wild about TC's feelings about Kyle Shanahan?
Is that like, they've been the same and never really changed, and he's always just stood on it, I guess?
No, that's also impressive. That's actually impressive. But the fact that he always says nobody likes Kyle, nobody's rocking with him, where, to be honest with you, Kyle Shanahan, I'm going to just say something, and I don't want to exaggerate, but I'll say it anyway. He almost has like 100% approval rating from the players. Players currently and players in the past. Have you ever read an article from Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers, with the Falcons, of people being like, I actually hated Kyle Shanahan and I hated his play calling?
No, the farthest that's ever gone is like, oh, Brandon Ayuk is in the doghouse and things like that, but never like, oh yeah, don't like Brandon Ayuk is like, it's all just been fine. It's just things like that. But yeah, there's never been, I don't think, every player issues with Kyle Shanahan.
Brandon Ayuk also came back that same season because that was one of his breakout seasons. I think it was his second year.
Yeah, sounds right.
And he goes later in the season. He was like, we was butting heads earlier in the season. But he was right. You know, it helped me. It helped me turn into the player that I am right now and have the success that I had. So he acknowledged, like, yeah, we wouldn't see an eye to eye, but, you know, he was right at the time. So, like, once again, I'm sure there's somebody, like a receiver or running back somewhere, who's like, nah, I don't really fool with Kyle. But publicly, damn near 100% approval rating. And TC will say, these dudes ain't feeling them. They don't want to play for him no more. There's like Emmanuel Sanders and Roddy White, who was like, no, Kyle's that dude. Like, he's great. Like, Polo, love playing for him. He's a player's coach. The players love playing for him. All this other stuff.
Polo says, talking about Devondre Campbell, didn't they have a player that quit on the team last season? That feels like more Devondre Campbell thing.
Yeah. I mean, and once again, sure, now we're at, what, 99%.
Well, yeah, there's the outlier right there.
All right. Like, this isn't a mutiny against Kyle Shanahan. And this guy's been coaching in the NFL for almost 20 years. I'm sure somebody, you would get a group of people if he was that bad of a player's coach and would say, nah, I can't stand this dude, actually. They got people who say they don't like playing for Belichick, but they don't say that about Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, it's true.
So, I don't know. Just always an observation when TC says that about the player.
I can't, like, I wouldn't say I'm rooting for it or whatever, but I am curious about the day TC calls in and is like, yeah, Kyle Shanahan, he did it. Like, if that's even possible, like, if the 49ers were to win the Super Bowl, would TC call in on Monday and be like, you know what, Kyle Shanahan did his thing. Like, I'm not going to say I was wrong, but just shout out to Kyle, he did his thing.
Absolutely,
like, not. He finally got out the way and the Niners won it in spite of him.
Yeah, that's what it would be.
Yeah.
Kyle didn't get out the way. He let Brock cook. Now he's going to be like, Kyle got out the way and let Bob Salah lead these men like they won it the whole time, and we were able to win. That's what he would say. That's what he would say. That's my dog, though, TC. But he talked about the Kings as well. And, you know, he's talking about Keon and Devin. I don't really see that the same way. I think Keon's a much better player than Devin Carter today. I think he's always going to be a better player than Devin Carter. Personally,
Devin's got to develop a 3-point shot to reach what Keon is.
I agree.
Like, you play all the defense you want, but I mean, league's about getting buckets now.
I agree. A better handle, a better feel for the game to be able to get to the bucket and score. I just see it differently than TC on the Keon Ellis Devin Carter front. One of the things that we talked about before break was what the ceiling may be for this team as currently constructed. And you talked about the buy-in aspect of this Kings team and this group, knowing that potentially there's not much of a future for the people here. Will they check out? Will they not be 100% locked in to the things that Doug Christie's talking about and just the future of this game? Number one, I would say, if that's the case, that would be disappointing, because that's a character trait, in my opinion, from those guys. So if you had a bunch of guys, whether it was Sabonis or LaVine or DeRozan, who were like, I'm not really here, I'm not really tapped in because, you know, I don't know what the future is. That would say, to me, if I was Doug Christie and Scott Perry, I don't want those guys out of here because those aren't winning players.
Yeah, I don't know if checked out is the right word, like what the term I would use, but just more so there's a lot of uncertainty with this roster, I feel. Mm. Like, I wonder if it's on DeMar DeRozan's mind. Like, yeah, I'm here in Sacramento, I'm ready to play basketball, all this, but also, hey, I could be a Los Angeles, like, I'm just throwing a team out there, Los Angeles Clipper come February or whatever, or I could be somewhere else come end of the season, you know, things like that, rather than having guys that are all just completely focused on this one season coming up.
Right.
I think it's just the uncertainty for me. And just like I said, it feels like right now it's just a jumbled mess with the roster. I feel like just all those things, it just screams 40-42 win team to me.
And that's,
I think in order to get the best out of a group or whatever, it's just, I'm not saying there isn't just questions I have about it going into the season. We'll see what it looks like. But like I said, I think all things need to be right in order to get the most out of it. And like I said, if you got guys that are like, could be somewhere else come February or end the season, or there's been discussions or whatever, like the Kuminga stuff is still out there. Like, I wonder how much that affects this group.
That's 100% fair. I think that's the job and the cachet of a guy like Doug Christie to kind of curveball that, you know, and once they get to training camp and even before training camp, like, I feel like, I could be wrong. Let's talk about DeMar DeRozan, for example. DeMar DeRozan may be one of those guys that my future's uncertain. I could be gone, you know, come February, anything else like that. Number one, last year was crazy. I don't think we ever saw DeMar DeRozan half step on a game. You know, he was a professional.
But I think
So there's that aspect. The other thing was, well, maybe he did half step on a game at some point, but that was already taken care of
after
a while. I don't even want to say half step on a game, but maybe like that non-buy-in that you talked about, There might have been a moment when that was going on, or some moments when that was going on for sure. But I say all that to say, we see him in the summer with Doug Christie. We saw him last summer with Doug Christie. I think even if he's not completely sold on what the Kings got going on the future, where he might be, there's a level of respect that he has for a person like Doug Christie, where if Doug is trying to elevate this team or trying to get him to play and trying to get these guys to buy in, I'm not going to say it's going to be like the most bought in he's ever been in his career, but he won't dog it for Doug Christie. I think there's a level of respect.
Yeah, I don't think like you'll get that from DeMar DeRozan.